The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, and go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. The Pharisees were demanding, when is the kingdom of God going to come? When's it going to come? They were waiting for it to come. You know, they hated him on one hand, and on the other hand, a little nervous maybe, because they felt that they despised him, but he had power. But he was healing and doing things like that, peaceful, preaching, saying stuff. He didn't appear to be violent. He looked vulnerable on that front from their side. I mean, yeah, he cast the money changers out of the temple. But that's one small incident. And even that wasn't, he didn't lead an uprising. He just himself drove them out. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. This word is always used in a sort of a negative sense, a bad sense. Acts 9:24, you know, they were watching to kill him. And Galatians 4:10, they were observing things in it that they ought not to observe. They observed days and weeks. You know, it has a negative connotation attached to it. You know, like saying you spy out. The kingdom of God doesn't come while the spies are watching, while the nasties got their eyeballs on it. The kingdom of God is within you. Is it within, you know, did he point at the Pharisees and say, it's in you, man, right there in your heart. There is a sense in which the kingdom of God is within us. But it's because we have the Spirit of God. Right then, the kingdom of God was within them. It's the plural of in, entos. In is en in Greek, and this is entos, the plural, which is translated quite a number of times, more than 100 times, among, or within, or, you know, within, among, in the midst of. So, it refers to him as being the king in the midst of them. It is his own presence. The kingdom of God is among you. It's in you all, not in your hearts, so to speak. Though that's true, but that's not what he's talking about here. And it wouldn't have been true in that moment, because within them, they were full of ravening and wickedness. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say, you're full of the kingdom of God. I see it in your eyes. No, he said, you are full of ravening and wickedness. And inside, they're full of corruption and of all abominations. So no, the kingdom of God wasn't in them. It was in their midst. It was in them collectively as a group in the person of Christ. And also, it becomes to be within us. And is in now. In the New Testament, after the Holy Spirit is given, he enters into us, and the King is within us, and the kingdom is built up within us. We are built up a holy city, a holy building, a holy kingdom. Jesus was the kingdom of God, and his kingdom was not of this earth, and so are we also, and our kingdom is not of this earth. But at that time, when he was on the earth, he was bringing it, and now it is here, but it is yet to come. As well. It was and is to come. It's not the sort of thing where they're going to say, oh, here or there. There it is. There's the kingdom of God. Here it is. He says, the days are coming. You're going to desire to see one of the days of the Son. Just one of the days when Jesus was on the earth. Just to see those days again. And they're going to say, oh, look here. Oh, look there. Don't go after them. Don't follow them. Because when Christ comes, it's going to be like the lightning out of one part of heaven shining to the other. It's going to be worldwide. It's not going to be like, oh, we got to go here because the kingdom of God has come. Let's travel. It's going to be like the shining of the light from one end of the earth to the other, across the entire sky. It's going to be an instantaneous revelation, the Son of Man in his day. So when he comes, yes, there is a heart aspect, but the real point is that the kingdom of God, when it comes in power, is going to come instantaneously and suddenly. And you're not going to be asking questions about it, and people aren't going to be telling you about it, because everyone's going to know, and every knee will bow to Christ. Every tongue will confess his lordship. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So the kingdom of God was among them, but it was going to be taken away. They were going to reject the kingdom and the king And they reject the kingdom by rejecting the king. He was the kingdom of God. All the power in heaven and earth to set up the kingdom is right there in that man. But it was not to be so at that time. As per God's plan and the wisdom hidden from the men of his generation, that they could not receive it. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You know, people always think that when Jesus Christ comes, it's like they have movies about it. The tribulation. And yeah, there's going to be a tribulation. But after that tribulation is when Jesus is going to come. When he comes, it's all over. And everyone thinks, peace at last. Peace at last. He comes as a thief when they least expect him. When they think they finally achieved their final peace. And all the wars are ended. And they are buying and selling, planting and building, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. You know, they're just living life. Not really doing a lot of special things. Planting, building, preparing for the future. Going on with their lives. And then suddenly, fire and brimstone from heaven. Suddenly, a flood comes, destroys them all. Jesus is going to come and destroy them all. He's going to ride through the blood, and the blood is going to flow as deep as the horse's bridle. And his garment is going to be stained with blood, because he is going to tread the winepress of the wrath and the fierceness of Almighty God. And in that winepress are the bodies, the broken bodies, and the bloody bodies of many, many men. When the Son of Man is revealed, it's going to be a day of destruction upon those who will not be expecting destruction. It's a funny time because there's this dualist aspect to it. On the one hand, there's the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for the fear of things that are coming on the earth. And the thing that really we have to look out for, though, as Jesus said in Mark 13, and he's going to say in Luke 21 coming up, that, hey, when you see the abominable desolation, then look out. Because the abominable desolation, the abomination of desolation, Satan, the Antichrist, however you want to put it, when that man of sin stands in the holy place and shows the world that he is God, performing miracles with all lying signs and wonders, and people are believing on him, and they receive him, and they begin to be at peace, and they accept it, and they think, our enemies are finally put to death.